With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is a Crowd podcast.
What's occurring, Bep?
What's occurring? Back to it, mate. I'm excited.
Back at it, yeah. It's been a while, haven't it? October, I think, last one. Maybe even September.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we just kind of lost our way a little bit, didn't we? We've always been like so brash with it and here, there and everywhere. And we explained on the last one that Crowd have come in and taken over, and we probably, like, nothing's going to change with how it's run and that. But it's just a bit more organised. It'll still be us just shooting the shit, won't it? But yeah, it's been a while. I'm excited to get back to it, mate. Every week now.
Basically, someone on our backs just saying, boys, we need to do another pod. Rather than us two just being like, shit, it's been 2 weeks, mate. We should do another one in about another 2 weeks.
It's been 4 weeks. It's been 6 weeks. It's good when we get going, isn't it? But it's just we're both quite hectic on the road. So yeah. Now every week, we'll have someone saying, come on, boys, let's get it done.
So speaking of hectic, how's your winter been?
How's my winter been? Actually, it's been a really good winter. So I took, rewinding the clocks now, aren't we? I took a long break. I always do. I take around 6 weeks. I did the same this year. And then I started and it's just been really consistent.
Did you do anything in those 6 weeks, though?
Not really. Well, hang on.
Because you can't run because you've got a gammy leg.
I can't run because I've got a gammy leg. I do, not like proper walking, but I'm always just quite active, like with the kids out and about, did a little bit of boxing. But generally, just switch off and just live the dream, mate.
Lovely.
I need it. I've always done it. And I always think towards the end, oh, I've overdone it this year. But another 6 weeks down the line and I'm relatively all right.
Yeah, and then into January, you didn't do the usual Oz or anything, did you?
No, sadly not, mate. Nah, it looked like a good trip. I was jealous seeing you boys over there. But I tried a bit of a different approach. I went to Mallorca camp in December, Mallorca camp in January, which were all mega.
Whoa, mega. That's not a word I use for Alcudia.
You really don't like camp, do you?
Well, it's more the fact it's just the whole team there, which is good rider-wise, but like there's loads of staff and it's just, I don't know. It's all right. You do decent training, but it's just the fact of being there to that area of Mallorca at least once a year since, I was saying this to Josh Tarlin, since 2004. I was rooming with him there. I was like, actually, when were you born, mate? He goes, 2004. I was like, Jesus. Every year of your life, I've been coming to this area of Mallorca. And just it gets a bit monotonous, a bit samey.
And you hate the staff.
Yeah, most of the riders. But
oh god, breaking news, G hates the staff.
Nah, it's good. It's just I wouldn't mind just going somewhere else. You know, I'm trying to mix it up a bit these days because this is my 17th year pro. A change is as good as a rest and all that. And it's nice, you know, doing a few different races last year, go a few different places, you know, just, you know, expand your horizons a bit, you know.
17th year, eh? Like a fine wine garant, still going strong. Be thou still my strength and shield,
strength and shield. I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's move on to you. You did a lap of the world.
That was a mega trip. So, yeah, basically I did Down Under. The family came with me. We stopped off at Singapore on the way over New Year as well, which worked out quite nice. So we were sat in our bedroom overlooking the port in Singapore where all the fireworks were. That was great. They had like drones as well as fireworks. And like, you know, just mad what you can do these days, innit, with a few drones. The things they were like, they had like an ape, and you know, like when it like kind of changes into a human.
Yeah,
the drones did that. It was like incredible. And then they had like dinosaurs and they had this and that, and you know, Max, obviously he's three, he was absolutely loving it as much as me actually. And yeah, so that was good start to the year. Then it was obviously down in Oz. A few health issues, we won't go into that, but yeah, it wasn't ideal, but I was on been off antibiotics for a while now. But the race wasn't the best for me because I was, yeah, I'd had a week basically not doing much before. But yeah, good to just be in there with the boys. And you know, obviously Sheffield, Magnus Sheffield was up there, Ethan a bit up and down, but it was funny that him the chemistry between him and Leo, his brother, is it's always entertaining when those two are together, just winding each other up.
I got speaking to Leo at we did some one days in Spain, and he's mad into his Pokemon cards, isn't he?
Yeah, that was another thing. Yeah. He was going out like, I don't think it was during the race. Might have been though, and like buying more Pokemon cards and opening them up, and I was just like, what's that all about? Like, I thought that was...
I don't know if this is our age or... I don't know. I thought Pokemon cards were a thing of the past.
Yeah.
He reckons his collection of Pokemon cards is worth about 12 grand. And he's got two cards that are worth £1,000 each.
Oh my God.
And that just blows my mind. A piece of paper, a card, and it's worth a grand. I was like, mate, just go buy a house. Just start saving for a house, you know?
Well, sell them, and you got 12 grand to put down on a house.
Hang on, let me get this right. How'd you get Pikachu on a bus?
Huh. I don't know. Well, I do think I do know, but yeah.
Pokemon.
I was going to say that, but it's annoying, isn't it, when somebody takes the punchline out of your mouth?
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. That. But yeah, going back to my mega trip, it was, obviously finished with Down Under. There was a decent race. Magnus had a big crash, which didn't help his fight for GC, although the three guys on the podium were super strong. But I think racing these days anyway, going off topic slightly, like Valencia, Ruta, you know, Algarve, all these races, like, unless you're like wanting to be good there and like training hard in December, you're just not going to perform there anymore. Like every race is full on in it. There's a lot of people going well. Like even in our team, quite a few of the guys who, you know, Teo and that, did they do Valencia? They're in like altitude 3 weeks before.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
And came down from altitude into that race. So it's just like, yeah, that's a big change in the old sport recently, I find. But anyway, from there, we went to New Zealand, flew into Christchurch Monday after Tour Down Under. Basically, I had 12 days there traveling around. I was riding between different places. It was great just doing different roads, you know, planning my route on the old, what's it called on your laptop? The
Garmin Connect.
That's the one. Yeah. Strava and Garmin Connect. Boom, boom, boom. I actually learned how to do it. And yeah, it was great. Queenstown, probably the best place. Like it was some real nice climbs around there as well. Couldn't live there. I think mountain biking would be really good. There's not a huge variety of roads, but for the length of time I was in places for 1-2 days, more or less, in Queenstown for 3, but great place, great weather there. Then we flew up, this was all in South Island, flew up to North Island, and it was just after they'd had these massive like floods and torrential rain, and we were getting red weather warnings. A place we were, Rotorua, Sam Bewley's from there, and he sent me a few routes, which was handy.
Okay.
But the night we were supposed to leave, no, we were there for 2 nights, and the second night I was going to train the next day, but we were getting these red weather warnings. Oh, if you're near water or anything, best to you know, leave your house or whatever and go somewhere else. And we were thinking, Jesus, what's coming? The bloody tsunami's coming. But turns out it was actually all right. And but we went up to Auckland that day anyway. Did a nice ride around there, but a lot of the roads were sort of closed because of landslides and stuff. But totally different climate, a lot more humid, but just really nice. And hardly any cars. I think the biggest, well, Auckland was a bit busier, but for the rest of it, I think the biggest traffic jam I was in was about 5 cars.
That's nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, like I say, just different roads and exploring a bit. And so that was great. That was really good. And then we went from there to LA, which was great as well. So we're 21 from New Zealand, went from Auckland to LA, and we took off at midnight on Tuesday, and we landed at 3 p.m. on Tuesday. So we like gained 9 hours.
Back in time.
Yeah.
You got some air miles now then.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of free upgrades.
Have to clean up those points, that's for sure, yeah.
Happy days.
Yeah, and then ended up staying in LA for an extra week because, change of program and stuff. So can't fault it, but it was great. But it was nice to come home, though, as well, because we're used to living out of suitcase, aren't we? But, yeah, that was a big old trip, and more for Max. Like, he needed some routine by then. He'd had, like, seven and a half weeks just on the road, like, in our bed, probably every night. So then we get back here. They stayed in Cardiff for a week, actually. I came straight back to Monaco. And they came back out on the Sunday. Sunday night, he was in his own bed here, bawling, because he wanted to sleep in our bed, obviously.
Yeah.
And I was waking him up at like 7:30 the next morning to take him to school. So he had a proper thump down to reality, I think. But he's all good now.
7:30 made him jealous of that. My kids, Alfie is up like, if we out of bed at 6, it's like, well done, mate. Mega sleeping.
Really?
7:30. What a dream that is.
Yeah. To be fair, the last couple of nights he's been a bit earlier, but generally he'd be around 7:30, I'd say. Yeah. So we're lucky there for sure.
That's a dream, mate. That's a dream. But is your missus home yet?
No, she's still out.
No.
It's Kath.
No. So we went down the beach this afternoon. It was Niamh Dunbar. No, they're not married, are they? Niamh. Eddie Dunbar's missus' birthday. And we were the professionals.
Crazy way of spelling Niamh. Like any, I was going to say normal people out there, any non-Irish people out there, how do you think you'd spell Niamh? Is nothing like how you spell Niamh.
No, because you'd expect, I don't know, N-I-E-V-E, something like that, wouldn't you?
Hmm.
And what is it? It's got a P in it, hasn't it?
No, I thought it did, but I don't think it does. But it's like N-I-A-M, or maybe it has got a P. M-P-H, or maybe there's no P. Just M-H.
N. Yeah.
It's like...
If you read it, you'd call it nymph. High nymph.
But yeah, so... Yeah, we took the kids home, didn't we? Max, I can't hear him, so he must be asleep by now.
Left them with a bottle of rosé a few hours ago, so... God knows when they'll be home. Oh, I was jealous leaving, though. I could have easily jumped on the bandwagon there.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, especially with the Giro, it's like suddenly made everything a lot earlier, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
It's just, that's another thing talking about change. It's really good to do the Giro because suddenly it's just like, oh, yeah, doing something a bit different now, target something else, and gives you a new sort of lease of life. But at the same time, it's like, whoa, this is so different to what I'm used to now. You need to be obviously going well a lot sooner. You know, like November was a different impetus, like December, you know, the camp in Mallorca was like, you know, doing a lot more and stuff. So, and then obviously you just got to behave a lot earlier as well, haven't you? Like,
yeah, but it also means like instead of the season ending at the end of July, now the season ends at the end of May. That's nice, isn't it? Season's over, mate.
Yeah.
Just milk it for 4 months then.
Yeah, I wish, right?
That old chestnut. Yeah, I guess that's, yeah, both doing the Giro. That'd be exciting. Hopefully should have a good group there as well.
Yeah, looking at the long list, like, there's a lot of good lads, isn't there?
Pipo, Swifty, De Pluska.
Both Swifties are down, I think, aren't they?
Both Swifties, yeah. Teo, Arisman, like, good bunch of guys, so hopefully we'll have a good 3 weeks there.
Yeah. So talking about, obviously, Paris-Nice-Tirreno just finished, we should really talk about that a little bit, even though neither of us have been there.
I was going to say, yeah, first of all, we both should have been there.
We would have had a rider in each camp, wouldn't we? You were down to do Paris-Nice and me Tirreno.
Well, I was down to do Tirreno, then you didn't do Tirreno, so I got put in Paris-Nice, and then after opening weekend, I just got the man flu. Just run-of-the-mill, common cold, stuffed up, throat, chest, whatever. And good night, Irene. No Paris-Nice. And I tweeted the other day, every year I go there, the first few days, you know, every year you've been there as well. Mm. It's like full crosswinds warfare, isn't it? Turn the TV on day two and they're just rolling along. It's like, oh, typical. And yeah. Then Nice is always, I don't know why, but for Paris-Nice, just that Sunday final day always seems to piss it down. And I was out there today. It's 20-odd degrees.
Beautiful, wasn't it?
Picked the 1 year to miss that one.
Yeah, it looked... Paris-Nice is definitely... Have you done Tirreno?
Never.
Well, you definitely need to do it. I think it's definitely easier than Paris-Nice in general, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, between the two. And like, they're both obviously hard, but I think Paris-Nice, if you've got wind, like you're saying, and bad weather, then every day can be full on and be hard. But yeah, this year was a showdown between the old battle from the tour last year, which was pretty interesting to watch. Kind of went how I thought it would, to be fair.
Yeah, because coming into it, they were both, you know, Poggy had won pretty much everything he'd ridden. But not only won it, like smashed it. Yeah. And then Vingegaard raced, I don't know what race it was.
That thing in Spain, wasn't it? Is it Spain?
Yeah. Anyway, a 4-day stage race or whatever. And he just, or was it in France? I don't know. Anyway, he lit it up and it was like, oh, here we go. But yeah, Vingegaard wasn't quite up to the level. So that's him done for the tour, isn't it?
Yeah, he's out now.
Yeah, so we can forget about him.
Yeah.
He's old news. And Poggy's going to win the tour then.
He's past it. He's 27 this year, mate. He's too old.
Yeah, he's done. He was good rider last year. He won it once.
Yeah, Danes, they can't back up, mate.
Imagine just winning the tour once. Nothing to shout home about, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he won't even get on the podium, mate.
Hey, what a loser. Once, Jesus.
But, Go Do was going well, to be fair.
Yeah, Go Do was going, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think
Have you seen him in the airport ever? Have you ever seen him in the airport with his missus?
No, why?
Oh, they love a good goodbye kiss. No, mate, public displays of affection. Yeah, those two love it.
Well, it's called French kissing for a reason, mate.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
What, tongues and everything?
Yeah, well.
Snogging, like.
They're proper going at it, mate.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe they just got together or they just got engaged and they were like, you know, honeymoon period or what, but yeah. If you see him at the airport behind the team bus at the end of a race.
Every time I see him for the rest of my life, I'm just going to look at him and just think, snogger. You've just implanted that in my head now. Go do the snogger.
But to be fair, he was going, wasn't he? Like,
yeah, impressive, yeah. Very impressive.
What day was it? He dropped Vingegaard, didn't he, yesterday?
Yeah, Saturday stage, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Poggy obviously did him in the sprint. I think it was another day as well when Vingegaard totally blew his doors off. And the first big mountain day, and like Poggy attacked and he was holding him, and then next thing he went around the corner and he just didn't see him again. And I think that's when Pogacar caught up with Godu. They finished together again, I think they did. But Godu started giving him a turn or two. I was thinking, mate, what are you doing? Don't give Poggy a turn, just sit on him, especially because it went a bit flatter. You know what it's like on a climb when going uphill, everyone's got to work. But if you're on the front on the flatter bit, you're doing so much more than the guy behind you. Like, that's the last place you want to be, especially when it's Pogacar sat on you.
As soon as it starts to plateau, massive difference, isn't it? I mean, we're obviously taking the piss with Vingegaard there. I think he's, the sport can be pretty fickle and people, you know, massive showdown in the Tour last year and it's built up to be that again in Paris-Nice. But, it's maybe he's taking a bit more of an old school approach and it's not like he was blown out the water, is it? He was still there or thereabouts. I think he was, it could have been third on GC still. Was he third?
Don't know.
Anyway, he was there or thereabouts, wasn't he? So,
but like even last year, like I think he did Tirreno last year. He was third.
He was third. Okay.
Simon Yates fourth.
And we had Pavel in, he was our best man. He was ninth. I spoke to some of the guys from the team and obviously we were all guns blazing there for Danny Martinez because he just come out of his Algarve, he won.
Yeah, gotta be good to win there.
Yeah,
especially winning it twice.
Whew. Twice, yeah. Danny only won it once.
Yeah,
loser. Yes, we were all guns blazing for him, but I think what happened with him was a bit of, he had some allergies. So I think it was a bit of cold weather, blah, blah, blah. And then obviously the race to the sun got the better of him and just all the allergies, pollen, whatever it was. And he struggled from that angle apparently. So a bit disappointing from our team's point of view, I guess. It's been a race where we've, what did we win? Like 6 out of 8 or something? I don't know.
Yeah, Brad won it and then like Richie'd won it a couple of times. I won it.
You won it.
Henao.
Egan.
There was a lot of done well.
A lot of success at that race.
Yeah. But we did. It was good to see. Did you see when they took the race on? Swifty over the top of that climb. It must have been Saturday stage.
Yes.
That was good to see. But it was just like,
I told Pavel to do that. I'm taking full credit for that team decision.
Yeah?
Yeah. Legit. We did it last year. It was great. Nice little twisty road. And you're either the nail or the hammer. So I was like, just whack it.
Yeah. Because you could just see, like, there was a crash and stuff and it was all splitting up behind and Swifty just going, like, ballistic around these corners.
Yeah. Swifty seems to be going really well.
Yeah, Swifty did look like he was good. It's just, it's great when you, as a team, you're doing that. You got a plan. You're like, right, we're going to hit the frontier, and you just get a bit of like on the bus. You're like, oh yeah, here we go. Today's going to be, solid. Like, it gives you a real purpose as well. And they nailed that, didn't they? It's just a shame that Danny couldn't finish it off. But yeah, it's so good doing it. But when you're the guys on the other end of it, there's nothing worse as a I think in Catalonia one year, Froome was leading. I think I was third on GC at the time. And it was like a penultimate stage. Movistar did that to us. And it was just down this twisty descent. It was after like 30K or something. And it split and it didn't come back.
Wow.
And we were chasing full gas, like through and off for like 50K. And the gap was like, 30, 40, 35, 40, 45, 40. And it was just like that for like 50 odd K. And then we finally gave up and we lost about 15 minutes. Fun times.
Nail of the hammer, mate. That's our sport, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
What about Tirreno then?
Well, yeah, it was a funny one. Like, because obviously the big day, we've done that a couple of times. It's the climb where I dropped my chain in 18. Basically gave Kwiatko the victory, Polish prick. And nah, he's alright, he's a nice guy now. Twat then. No, I'm only joking. But then we did it again in 2020, I think, when Simon Yates won and I was second up there. And this year was a massive headwind apparently, and Teo told me they went up at like 3.5 minutes slower. So it was just like, well, a headwind and negatives, more defensive race. So it's kind of strange because you never saw it completely split up, because that was obviously quite a big, I don't know, it must have been at least 10 guys coming into finish, maybe a couple more. Yesterday, a Saturday stage was that hard sort of up-down Tirreno stage, but I think the group still would have been fairly big coming in there. And before that big mountain day was a similar sort of hard day, but still a big group. So it never completely like blew apart, and it was kind of, a bit strange really. But it was kind of all on the TT and then bonuses.
Yeah, it was never like fully man-o-man like Paris-Nice was, you know, proper 15K climb. Chapeau to Roglic.
Yeah, fair play.
Three wins in a row.
Yeah.
Freak. I think he won every jersey.
Did he? Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Took the piss.
But there was that stage, with the wind.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it's weird watching on telly though, isn't it? Because it's like, you get bits where it just doesn't look stressful. It's all across the road. Commentators are like talking about the wine or the bloody history of some chateau. And you're just like, in that peloton is going to be so stressful. You know, like, somebody thinking, shit, I need to get up, and like they're all trying to move up or whatever, and the road's just blocked and you can't, and there's like touching the wheels and there's people shouting, and you just know it's so much more stressful. And then that stage, it must have been 10k to go or something, wasn't it? Jumbo just went and straight away just started splitting, and like Jumbo are just on a bit of a mission at the minute, aren't they? Like, they've just got the wind behind their sails as well. Like, when things are going well as a team and like everyone, there's been a few victories and the whole team are sort of like on this same sort of, well, from what I can tell, I don't know, but same sort of training regime and like, you know, the nutrition and everything, and it seems to be a team thing, you know. And yeah, they're all just buzzing off it, it looks like. You know, Om Loop opening weekend, they smashed that obviously, didn't they? And so yeah, they're riding high at the minute, but so we'll make interest in July, really.
Yeah, opening weekend was very impressive, actually. I think sometimes you just have to take a step back and just say credit where credit's due. Like, as a team that weekend, sometimes you can go in with the strongest team and the strongest riders and you can still make mistakes. But what they did was they had the strongest riders, they had the strongest team and individuals, and across the whole weekend, 2 days of racing, in that environment, they didn't put a foot wrong. And it hurts me to say, but yeah, they were very, very good.
I was going to say, it'd be interesting to see how Kelderman goes now, because he's obviously big talent, sort of, I don't know, not really lived up to it in recent years, but going there now when Jumbo, you know, are doing what they're doing, it'll be interesting to see if he steps up now or if he stays at that level, but it'd be interesting one.
Nah, he'll crack.
Hey, don't worry about that. Reminds me, that dude Dylan Van Baar, when he won Newsblad, What do you reckon he averaged for the last hour? I was on the bike with him a couple of days later, yeah.
For the last hour of Newsblad, he averaged... Average or normalised? Average.
Oh, he said average, so I'm guessing. Oh. It might be normalised, but...
Hang on, I got a knock on the door. That's Kath back. Hang on. We can keep talking. Average, Dylan Van Baal, last hour, 375. 390. Freak. Hang on. Hiya, love. I'm doing a pod.
Sorry.
You tipsy?
Yeah.
Mega. Yeah. She's home.
Quality.
Okay. Right, so quiet now. Yeah. Being professional. She said, your wife isn't going to be home for a while.
Oh, well, she'll be taking Max to school in the morning. Don't worry about that.
Funny when they walk through the door, you tipsy a little bit. You look at her eyes and they're a bit starry-eyed, a bit blurry. So, yeah, she's tipsy. Yeah, you ain't seen Sarah for a while, mate.
Yeah, well, we've got to make the most of it, innit?
Hang on, so Dylan Van Baal average what?
Yeah, 390.
390 for the last hour?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's impressive. Bloody hell. I'm going to say that's definitely normalised, but nonetheless, it doesn't change much.
No, because, well, obviously there's quite a lot of corners in Belgium, but
yeah,
he was just basically just on the front, just drilling the whole time, wasn't he?
Yeah. Bloody
just
awesome.
Riders just popping off his wheel. Like.
Yeah. That's why, now I know why I got dropped now. Yeah. Be able to sleep tonight.
What about
days?
Oh no, yeah, that's it. I was going to say man of the match for the two races. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Pog and Rog.
Man of the match for the two races. Oh, sorry, them races.
Gaudu stepped up, haven't he? But at the same time, like, Hogg's just dominated.
I think that was expected, but Gaudu probably wasn't expected. So, man of the match, I'll probably give it to Snogger.
Yeah, good on you, Snogger. What about sprinters, actually? Philipsen won today, didn't he? Jakobsen won at some point, I think.
Jakobsen won the... Merlier won the first stage of Paris-Nice, took the yellow jersey.
Coy?
Paris-Nice. Olive Coy, yeah. Again, yeah. Another rider from Jumbo, like you say. Wind in the sails and all that. Do you know what?
That's good though, isn't it? Yeah, no one's like...
No one's dominating.
Not at all, no. Caleb is like struggling to even get a win. That was bad. Did you see that? When he won, was told he won that race, did post-race interviews and stuff. And then they say, oh, actually, no, this other guy won.
You know, thanking his team, and he'd obviously ecstatic that he won. To be told he hadn't. You know, they make him look like a... You know, they make him look a bit silly through no fault of his own.
Mm.
And it's just like, come on, guys, we got to be better than this. But, and then this poor bugger, this similar thing happened in UAE, didn't he? It was photo finish down to the... Oh, here's one. So in the rule book, if it's a photo finish and they can't decide, they give a draw, the official rule is, I think it's the next day, if it's a stage race, you have to do a 1,000-meter race, just two of you.
Nah.
Yes. Yeah. So if they'd given that as a draw, the next day in UAE, before the stage starts, the two of them would get on the start line and they'd race a kilometre.
I'm not buying that. Mate, have you been on the Rosé as well as Calf, mate?
Not as much as Calf.
Jesus. Why wait till the next day? Surely you got to do it then and there, because you both got... Someone might recover a bit better and then you lose the win because of that.
Yeah.
You should have to just turn around.
It could be the next day. It could be the next day. Sorry, it could be on the day. But official rule, 1 kilometre race, two geezers, off you go. How good would that be?
That would be good. I don't see why. What the problem is just saying they both win, though. Both get a win, they'll both be happy with that, wouldn't they?
I didn't write the rule book, just telling you.
Yeah, true. Those bloody idiots at UCI did, didn't they?
Yeah. Oh, I got a... Here's another stat. There's only one team who took home more prize money in Torino than what UCI took home in fines.
Oh, God.
So the second biggest earners were UCI. So Jumbo had the most, then UCI, and we were next highest.
I got a few fines in Down Under. Ridiculous.
Were you peeing in public? That's your go-to one, isn't it?
One was for peeing, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
The police are on to me about that, actually. I didn't know that school was there, but... Anyway.
Do you know how we're saying go do is snogging in public? On the FGJ podcast, they're like, oh, that, you're not Geraint Thomas.
Pissing again.
He loves weeing on people. He's always weeing on people like Geraint Thomas.
The other one was for a sticky ball.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, what? I was like, honestly, it was like a normal get a ball.
It was only like 40 seconds or something.
No, not even. No, actually, it wasn't. It wasn't a sticky ball. I just held onto the car when I was chatting to Neasy. That's what it was. But I was about to get dropped anyway. I was like, mate, we were just chatting about something we could do in the race.
Do you know, a lot of the time I do that because if you put a hand on the car and you keep pedaling, it just means you can like stabilize yourself and have a conversation. If you're just riding next to the car, you can't get your head in the window. You can't hear anything.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I hold the car or put my hand on it just so I stay next to it, but then pedal under my own power.
You still get a bit off the car, but yeah.
Yeah, I might pedal like 30 watts instead of 300, for example, but the legs are still turning to some degree.
Yeah, yeah. Mate, they're out to get me.
Yeah, anyway, they earned a lot of money for their end-of-season party at Torino anyway.
Yeah. Sweet. All right, then, well... San Remo next up for you, is it?
San Remo, mate. Yeah. Back in the game.
Yeah. Next week, we might actually talk about a race we're both at. Well, one of us is done, I mean.
Yeah. And you're Catalonia next?
Yes. All being well. Go to Barcelona on Saturday. Got a bit of track testing. And then, Catalonia starts Monday.
All right. A little bit further down the line then. All right. So next week, we'll have a... I'll tell you all about Milan San Remo.
Lovely jubbly. Can't wait back.
Lovely job. All right. Anything else? Are we all good?
All good. No, I'm going to ring my wife. See where she is.
She's busy.
Oh, actually, I'm not. I'm just going to go put something on telly and just enjoy a bit of downtime.
Yeah, just watch TV, put the door on the latch and see him when you see him.
Yeah.
Mega. All right, mate.
I like them, but...
Good catch up.
In a bit now. Ciao, ciao.
Ta-da, boy.
If you're listening on Apple and you want these episodes without ads, subscribe to Crowd Sports channel.
It'll cost you £1 per week, but you'll get ad-free versions of What's Occurring and other Crowd shows like Beef's Golf Club, the George Groves Boxing Club, and Captains with Sam Warburton.
You can also get bonus episodes from Sam with insights about leadership. Just search for Crowd Sports channel on Apple Podcasts.
Crowd Network, a place... where you belong.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.